Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. Happy New Year. Glad to be back with you here on the airwaves all over the place, all the ways you bring in the show. It is 2026, and it is one of those shows where, we have, quite frankly, too much to get to on a Monday. It's been a scattershot couple of weeks of when we've been on the air, but all signs point to a great new year in the sports world. Was it a great sports weekend? It was a busy sports weekend. We'll get to it all. Jacob Albrock here alongside TJ Cleland. Max Power producing for us. 869-1240 is the number to call. You can also reach us on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different ways you listen to the show. Thanks for watching us as well on 12 News Connected, and thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. It's, of course, the weekend we really get rolling into conference play in the college basketball world. The second conference game for Wichita State does not go well after the first had us pretty excited, quite frankly. But we'll dig into that. Paul Mills should be joining us here in the first hour. So we'll have that for you. It was also a busy football weekend. The CFP on to the semifinals. We will discuss maybe a little bit of that today, but certainly throughout the week. The NFL regular season is in the books, including, of course, for the Kansas City Chiefs. The playoffs are set. Travis Kelce talked after the game. We'll dig into all of that. Josh Briscoe, we expect sometime in the second hour. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where you can drink Buffalo Sweat and help Buffalo right here in Kansas in January and February at all three WBC locations. A portion of proceeds from every draft pint of Buffalo Sweat Oatmeal Cream Stout will help support Maxwell Wildlife Refuge, WBC Pizza and Beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Hello. That was a very 2025 sports weekend. You know, everybody makes a New Year's resolutions that they want to be better in the new year, in the 2026, and our sports teams did not follow suit. We went 0-4 this weekend.
You're talking about Chiefs and college basketball, of course.
Yes.
On the men's side. I think I sent that as like that shocker loss, especially felt like it felt like it was 2025. Shockers back home Wednesday to try to bounce back. Just a really disappointing outcome after a really fun outcome against UAB to open conference play. A huge, massive comeback is followed by blowing an 18-point second half lead. That is just brutal for Wichita State. Now, I think the question becomes, how much does this matter? And this is a question for Wichita State, probably in Kansas. At least we hope Kansas. So, you know, like, Wichita State's going to have to win the conference tournament to get into the playoff, right? We know that. And so for me, like, big picture, how much does it matter? Well, I think it matters for Paul Mills and his legacy and finishing high in the conference this year. But in reality, it's all about what they're going to be able to do at the end of this thing. So I'm curious to hear from him. What can you work on and do to avoid these stretches of games where they just can't seem to get it going at all? It's like everything just stops for 10 or 12 minutes in a game. Because when they're, you know, outside of that, they look good. And you know, what can you do? You split two road games to open conference play. Just was like the order was weird, right? Charlotte's not that good. That was disappointing. Kansas kind of the same way. We assume sort of that Kansas is going to have a good enough resume to be an at-large in the NCAA tournament. So it's like, how good can they be by the end of it? These individual outcomes annoy us, and certainly there's a mountain of things to talk about with Kansas. How much does that really matter, right?
They matter. We do this all the time.
They do. I agree. I'm not trying to downplay them. I'm getting there. For Kansas State, they really matter because Kansas State's going to have to build a resume still.
Yes, correct.
But so for Kansas and Wichita State, it's like these outcomes are infuriating. But, you know, you have like the big picture, like within the program, it all still has to be big picture focused.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. We're getting to the 2025 Chiefs syndrome on these, and we do it all the time. And the Chiefs are the perfect analogy of, like, they lost to the Jags, but I mean, how much does it really matter that they lost to the Jags? Right. You know, like, Wichita State lost to Charlotte. How much does it really matter that they lost to Charlotte? At some point, it has to matter, and it's a conference game. Like, losing to DePaul because you missed 15 free throws is, I mean, you can't do anything about the free throws. You know what I mean? But, like, the way they lost to Western Kentucky and the way they lost to St. Mary's and the way that they've lost every game so far has the common theme where they go on a big run, the other team goes on a big run that's bigger than theirs, basically. And this one was kind of backwards of what we've seen, which is interesting in itself. But, you know, give credit to Charlotte. They were able to stop Kenyon Giles, who was doing everything for Wichita State. And the biggest question that they go from here is, how do you find a way to win whenever Kenyon Giles only scores single digits in the second half?
Yeah, it's a good question. Caron Boyd picked it up very late, but it was very late. I think, you know, we are seeing some positives there. The free throw bug seems to be gone. They're rebounding well. I just like the offense, and I think you've got it spot on. The disappearing act of the offense for those stretches in a game has to be different. I think for a while, and I still feel this way, but you're relying on a young player. Like, that's to me where TJ Williams has to shine a little bit. Like, get the ball in his hand, attack the basket. The other team has locked in. And the other thing is, too, like, Giles will have off shooting nights. We've seen that this year.
I mean, we've seen it in TJ Williams stepped up and they beat Northern Iowa. Like, you know, Giles wasn't making 8 threes during that stretch of non-con games where they played well. TJ Williams was, I mean, maybe the number one option, if you want to put it that way. So they have the options. They just need to figure out quickly, and now they're in conference play, of how they do that again.
Yeah, they scored 80 in the game, so it wasn't like it was a bad, as before overtime. It wasn't like it was a bad offensive performance, but it's Giles is, I don't know. We'll have to ask Paul Mills this, I suppose. It's like a double-edged sword. Like, when he's hot like that, it's like, okay, let's go. But then it almost becomes too reliant on that. It certainly did in the final possessions of that game.
It's honestly, and we'll talk about this, it's the same thing as KU to a different magnitude, but same conversation is the fact of the, and we'll dig into this KU, but I mean, the blanket statement that you can put over that, and I know it sounds like we're being dramatic about this, but if Darren Peterson is healthy, they win the game. Darren Peterson played in the game. He wasn't healthy. He had to come out of the game. It's unfortunate, whatever happened, but like, they are a different team with him on the court than when they are without the court, and they're a worse team. Of the three, they're the worst whenever they're in the stage of limbo of wondering what's going on. You know, when Darren Peterson plays, the Jayhawks know he's going to be the volume shooter. When he doesn't play, they found ways to go beat Tennessee without Darren Peterson. They almost beat UConn without Darren Peterson. And then when they're in the limbo stage of, is he going to play? Is he going to be able to go late in the game? Then it's like, okay, well, what do we do now? You know? And like that's a whole conversation to get into.
And we will. Rick says he's a Kansas fan and they just have to shut him down. It's not going to work. It's not fair to the rest of the team. It's been a bad investment. It's bad luck. I think there's a lot of KU fans feeling that way.
It's bad luck for sure.
I think there's still time for them. I think they're going to have to get very creative. I do think there's a way to work through it. I don't think you just can turn down 23 points and whatever it was.
It's still such an interesting conversation because every time he plays, there's no question that he's the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, I guess, that offense comes through. But we'll get into both of those. K-State, probably a little less interesting this weekend in their loss against BYU.
You feel the best about them, and they lost by double digits.
I know. I don't know what people's expectations were for that. But we'll cover it all, plus the Chiefs, plus Travis Kelce. Try to get to some CFP. It is a busy day on Sports Daily. Stick with us.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in here to Sports Daily. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Popped in this weekend for the simulator. First time I think that I've swung a club in about 3 months, and there were some rough moments. I'm not sure I had a good iron shot all day, but that's what it's there for, right? These cold months are here. Although it was plenty warm to go out and play golf, and lots of people were. Simulator gives you a chance to just kind of keep in tune and do those things. They've got two of them, beer, food, all the stuff there for you. Give Crestview a call. Ask about all the different kinds of memberships that they have available and tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in. Let's talk KU. So Darren Peterson is, we know what he is when he's out there. That's not the problem, right? 26 points, 23 minutes. 23, I believe, in the first half. And just instant explosion and offense, and it happens again. Happened again. He had the same flare-up. I don't know what it is. I don't think he knows what it is. I don't think they know what it is. That was probably, I don't know, it felt as optimistic about his ability to get out there as they've had maybe since the opening weeks of the season leading up to that game, and it flared up again. And so, others have brought it up. We've had people here bring it up already this morning. Are they better off without him? I would absolutely say the answer to that is no. They're not better off without him. I think what's going to become the challenge is, and I'd hope that they'd been able to figure this out leading into conference play, because this is what we've seen every game. How do you quickly pivot to having and not having him? And I know that's not like an easy ask, and it may not be something they figure out until the tournament, you hope, but how do you become the team that has played without him, and how do you become the team that has him, both exactly. within the same game? Because that's exactly. probably what's going to have to happen.
It's hard to do because, that's what I was bringing up in the last segment is that, imagine, you're Bryson Tiller, because whenever we didn't see Darren Peterson, Bryson Tiller looked awesome. Like him and Flory were the reason they were winning basketball games. Whenever Darren Peterson's out there, Bryson Tiller turns a lot more into, I'm going to get some rebounds and we're going to make this thing work and get the ball back to Darren because he's got 25 points. And then if he goes out like he did yesterday, trying to switch back into, okay, I need to start shooting the ball after I haven't really, shot a three all game. Bryson Tiller would shoot some corner threes, everything like that. And it's just different the way that it works. And it's, on paper, it should be good to have that because, as I said, they were a team that was able to beat Tennessee, almost beat UConn, playing some really tough games. They almost beat Duke without him. And, if you can find a way to replicate that in a game where he's playing, they've got to figure out that recipe because Darren Peterson's not going to be able to play 40 minutes, probably even in March at this point. It's whatever it is, it's they're going to be cautious with it, even more cautious because this was the most optimistic that they were. And all accounts were barring any setbacks, he's going 100, he's going, he's here. And there's a setback.
Yep. And it's the same setback. And that is, and again, this is where I know KU fans are angry. I get it because we can all see it. Or we watch him play. I think anger feels a little bit misguided because again, I don't think Peterson's doing this on purpose. And I think even the anger at his camp, which has gotten a lot of run the last couple of weeks, wanting to hold him out. Do you not understand now why they want to be so cautious with it?
Yeah. You know what I mean? There was I don't know if you saw this. Devin Neal actually chimed in on this. And he said basically along the lines of, I lived this with Jalen Daniels and you guys acted the same way that Jalen Daniels was a pansy and he was faking and he was going to transfer and he didn't care about KU football because he was hurt. He's like, injuries are weird and nobody understands what they're like. And somebody replied and said something along the lines of we're not upset about that. We're upset that it's not coach self calling the shots. It's his parents calling the shots is what. And he said, listen, guys, if I was hurt, I would hope my parents would tell them not to play me either. You don't want to play hurt. That's what it is. And, I don't think – and the thing that, the conspiracy theorists and fans that just look and see how much money he's making to, sit on the bench because he's hurt, probably think that Darren Peterson's parents and him are going back under closed doors and like rubbing their hands together and like, yeah, like we got him. Like, hook, line, and sinker. Like, no, they're being cautious because they don't want their number one draft pick son to play hurt. And that's the hard part of this is they want to be cautious, and KU wants to be as cautious as they can. But at some point, you know, you'd like to see him play a full game.
Well, right. It's that, and the reality is like he's awesome. They're 10-4, despite dealing with this essentially in every game of this season. They have huge wins on their schedule. They are top 25 right now in the AP and every metric that you can look at. It's like, what is the expectation? And I think, you know, the expectation with him there is very, very, very high. I think we've seen good things out of Kansas without him there, but Kansas is not winning a national championship without him there. So, like, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a team that is floating right around the top 25 that probably finishes, I don't know, fourth or fifth in the Big 12 and gets a bid into the NCAA tournament? Or would you rather see the team with the upside that could make a run to the Final Four if Peterson was healthy? And I think right now people are angry and they're confused by it. And it's just like it's the first game of the Big 12 schedule. That whether it's, you know, 25 minutes of Peterson a game or not, they're going to have to, you got to allow them the time to try to figure out, okay. Like, I think the expectation at this point should be Darren Peterson will give you 20 to 25 minutes in, I don't know, 60% of the Big 12 games.
I think
work with that? How do you use that?
I know.
Right.
I think that's the expectation by all accounts of what Bill Self said after the game. And even in prior games, that's what they're going to do is find a way to play him 20 minutes. And he said that after the game is that he was on a minutes restriction. And he played all of his minutes in the first half then? It's like, I don't think that's – I have to think something happened where he was going to play more. You know, yeah. Like that's the weird part about this stuff. And I think that is where all of the emotion comes from the fans. Of, as we've said, like the messaging of all this stuff, it's just gasoline on a fire, basically. Like and it's tough. And you can't have Bill Self go out there and just say, yeah, he's not going to play. I don't know.
Right?
I know they don't know. I mean, would you rather have Bill Self go onto a post game press conference and just say, I don't know, guys, we're just going to try. We'll see what happens.
And the other thing, like if it was a glass slipper answer of, well, we'll pay him 12 minutes in the first half and 12 minutes in the second half. But it's not like it's not that simple. Like they think he's good. I don't think his flare-ups are happening because he's playing, you know, the 23rd minute of, exactly. Like, it's coming. It's happening.
And if he's, and how is a basketball coach, if you've got a guy that has scored 30 points in 20 minutes of play, do you not just say, like, you want to keep going? Like, you want to keep playing? You know what I mean? Like, you've got to do whatever's going to give your basketball team the best chance to win. And if he's practicing in full and he looks good in the first half, you know, you got to keep trying. Just say, okay, he's back. We were fine. Like, that's a conference game. You got to go win, you know, and they didn't. And everything is now turned into this conversation again.
And UCF's good. And it was on the road and it was a tight game. And I thought that their fight to get back in it at the end there was impressive. There was definitely a moment where it looked like it was just going to run away from them and it didn't. And they got it back in. I think, you know, how do you flip a switch? How do you flip a switch if you're Kansas from having Peterson to not having Peterson? Because it really is two kind of different teams. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just, it is what it is, right? To me, there's so much more upside, obviously, when he's there. But they did figure out a way to, you know, to get things done without him. Okay, how can you tap into that within the same game, I think, becomes... And I also, I do think that they can, right? I think it's possible. I think some other players are going to have to do some things that they probably never had to do, which is take a step back and then immediately be ready to put on the, you know, to punch the gas.
Yeah. That's what Melvin Council tried to do. Council looked great.
He's going to have to, right? Like he's going to have to be that guy. And maybe it's as simple as, and it's a big ask because he's a freshman, and he doesn't have all the time in the world to do it. But Darren Peterson, what if your role changes a little bit? Like, what if it's not like all the easy offense for you, which has been your entire basketball career? And it's obvious to why that is, because it is easy for you. What if we utilize you more a little bit as a distributor and kind of change that offense? I don't know what it is. That's why Bill Self's one of the best in the business to try to figure it out. It's unfortunate. It sucks. He's awesome when he's out there, and he's just unfortunately can't get through this injury. I think that Devin Neal stuff is interesting. And I think fans, like, guys, the player's hurt. Like, he could easily just not play, right? He could easily just be hurt and not play at all. And I just can't believe that so many people would rather have that. I wouldn't at all. I'd like to see him play.
If I had to take a stab here, I'd say if he wasn't so clearly a one and done and like obvious one and done, I think that they may have shut him down. But I think that there is a little bit, and maybe he would have wanted to say, like, it's like, we'll try again next year. Like, this is annoying. It's happening every single game. Like, shut me down for a couple of months. Excuse me. Shut me down for a couple of months, and we'll try it in March. But I think that he knows, like, man, I've only got 30 games at KU. Like, I feel like I should try to play, you know?
Well, he likes it there. Like, he's clearly, like, he's having a good time. He's been a steward of the university, all those other things. There is going to be the factor, too, of as we watch BYU beat K-State by 10, 83-73, and DeBanza goes for 24 and looks good. Like, it's a good class. It's not just Peterson. It's also a good class. And there's going to be, I would think, at some point, some motivation to just to be able to play through it on his end too. Like, I got to get out there and show everybody that I'm fine.
I know. Like, that's the one thing. And we talk about it every week with Shreyas about, like, if you are the, I don't even know who's bad in the NBA this year, the number one pick, and you are looking at these guys, it's like, man, do I want the guy that played 35 minutes in every game or the guy that missed 15 and never played a full game? Like, obviously Peterson's got the skills that he should be the number one pick, but, like, I mean, we've seen this story so many times in the NBA. You think about Greg Oden as the guy that stands out, like, immediately. It's like, this happens so many times. Like, it's a risk that you may want to take because he's that good, and somebody will take the risk, whether that be one, two, three, or four.
Sure. Because they can just shut him down for a while.
Exactly.
Like, they're not – right. They don't
but have – But for a guy – for I mean, for these guys, like, the number one pick versus the number two pick is a big deal. And, like, he wants to be the number one pick. And you'd have to think that, like, you have to show them that, like, I'm healthy. Like, I'm fine. Like, this is a you know, this is a stepping stone, and I'm getting over it. And when you get to the NBA, it's not going to matter because you can't shut him down. So that's the difference between taking him at number two. Like, sure, whatever, I'll shut him down anyways. If you're taking him at number one, though, over to AJ DeBonsta, you're going to want to know that. I have to imagine, and I can't believe there's not more chatter about it.
Well, because this is the other part to people. Like, it's way too early. It's January 5th, right? Like, it's frustrating if you've followed along with it every week with a microscope like we have, because you're just trying to, like, wait. But the reality is the NBA draft's not for 5 months. He's shown you enough when he has played to see it. Like, that's not the question. It's just, what is this ailment and can he get through it? The unfortunate part is now, like, all those stretches, all those very obvious stretches to shut him down and rest him up, those are all gone now. There is no more, like, obvious, oh, well, we got this nice 3-week break here before conference play, or, oh, it's, you know, these games don't really matter. Oh, it's just a holiday tournament.
I think we haven't even talked about that part of it. That may be one of the most frustrating parts of this as well, is the fact that they did shut him down for 3 weeks, basically. Right. Like, he hadn't played in a month, and it still happened. Like, what is it that's made? And again, we're not Sports Daily doctors here. Like, we have no idea either. But, like, it's just, you know, want to pull your hair out type of stuff.
It is. And nobody has the answer. Darren Peterson doesn't. Bill Self doesn't. His parents don't. Obviously, the trainers and doctors don't. And now it's just an adjustment period of, okay, why not just assume he's going to give you 20 minutes a game the rest of the way? Because that's kind of where I'm at. He'll give you 20 minutes a game in the games that he can play. How do you channel both versions of KU that we've seen this year within a game? That's the challenge now. And I know that's not easy. It's a challenge now, though, for the coaching staff. How do you get both versions of KU to play within the same game. I do think we saw it just a little bit toward the end of UCF. I do think they flipped the switch back. How do they do it? Right away. Can you utilize Darren Peterson and make him just a second half player? What if you just don't play him in the first half and then you play him in the second half, right? Like, what? I don't,
they're just,
I don't know the answers to it. I really like, it's not right now. I don't think Bill Self does either. He's trying to work through it. I think maybe we can all agree, whether we agree on they should just shut it down, which I don't agree with at all because he's way too good. Maybe we can all agree with the start a game, but not finish a game methodology. Maybe there is some ways to work around that. More limited minutes in the first half, whatever it might be, just to try to see if you can get him to the end of a game. We'll find out. Their next game comes at home, comes against TCU. TCU showed us this weekend they're pretty good. The Big 12 is never going to not have a difficult game, and that's coming up next on tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. It's the late window. Darren Peterson, all alone on ESPN, or will he be? Will he not play? We should find out
like
today.
That's what I was, you know, going through making a schedule for this week, and it's like, you know, KU TCU isn't really that hot button of a game, but it's like, every game right now is what is they going to say in the post game? Because you don't, like, it's just an ever-changing story, and the games don't matter. You know, the biggest story is going to be the biggest story every game now.
Yeah, the games are going to matter. I mean, KU still does have to collect enough wins to make sure that they're safe.
I'm saying more so that, like, Bryson Tiller can hit a full court shot at the buzzer for the win, and the first question will still be, well, how's Darren Peterson feel after
that? Well, right. You know? We've seen Melvin Council just go ham, and it's like, yeah. Oh, cool. But is Peterson good? Like, are we good?
And it is. It's the biggest question. And that's what we're supposed to do. Like, that's right.
It's not unique to only this. The Chiefs just had one of the worst seasons, and we want to know about Travis Kelce, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what else is happening. How's Mahomes' rehab going?
Like, exactly.
That's fine. Like that, it's fine. They just need to. How do you win games when he's not there? And how do you quickly pivot to that philosophy as soon as it happens? Real quick on K-State. Look, they didn't cover the number. I didn't have any expectation for them to win that game, even at home. I don't think this team is as good as I had hoped, unfortunately. But I think they have enough flash. PJ Haggerty's a really good player. I hope they can collect enough wins to, you know, finish 6th, 7th in the league and maybe get there and be able to get a tournament bid. Now joining us, Wichita State head coach Paul Mills, the Shockers in the routine in some ways of conference play. It was always going to be, coach, a tough way to start conference play with two road games. Boy, it sure looked like for a minute it was going to be 2-0. What a strange dynamic. You have the huge comeback in the first one, and then you guys let one slip away in the second one. How do you like break all that down and decompress it now as you guys get to come back home?
Yeah, you wake up the next morning and you figure out what the next right thing to do is. And, I know you use the word slip away. I mean, yes, but, you know, early leads in general don't mean anything if you can't defend and rebound. And it was our worst defensive performance on account of it was our worst rebounding performance. And just that – We're better than what we showed. Obviously, we had a number of things that, you know, I tip my hat to the kid Mingo for Charlotte, obviously 26-10, and don't want to take anything away from his ability to play. And then Bonky, their 7'2" guy, we knew going into the game what a tough pick and roll coverage that was. And then there was just a variety of things that kind of, I would call it a stew of manufactured mistakes that need to happen in order for us to be on the wrong side of that game. They happened. There were, like, you can't foul 20 seconds to go up 5. You can't foul 94 feet. Stop the clock. Give those guys 2 points. You know, there's a lot of things that have to go wrong, and unfortunately they all did. And you go back, you realize that our destiny is in our hands. There's, I think, 3 teams right now that are 2-0. We would prefer to be the 4th. I think Tulane, missing Temple, and then Memphis. And then I think the rest of us are all 1-1. And so it's one of those things where you got to learn. We're happy to get back home. We need to win and do a great job and make sure we're doing the things necessary in order to win at home.
Yeah, now that you do come home, you know, you start getting into the teaching moments. I'm sure that there was a lot of tape shown and everything like that. In this game, just kind of going back to Jacob's original point, you know, you're, you know, 10 minutes away from winning a basketball game, and then the perfect storm of, you know, 7-8 things had to happen in order for Charlotte to be able to do what they did. And it happened that way. You know, what do you take any, you know, positives away from what you saw out there? Or is it more so as you get back on the court, you know, today or whenever it is, to say, like, we got to be able to execute in these, you know, last minute situations? You know, what is it that you're teaching here?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is just a game management issue. You know, with 3 minutes to go, you're up 7. And there were two times that, you know, one time we just came down and just shot the ball 4 seconds into the shot clock. And it's just like, that is, it's unnecessary. And, you know, you kind of have to go through and just, you know, manage that with guys. The fouling from 94 feet, we have a chance to go up 7 with, you know, under a minute to go. We get an offensive goaltend and the discipline that's required there. And so, you know, we foul a 3-point shooter. I mean, and I'm not talking about the last play. And then again, there's some things that have to work in the other team's favor as well, from, you know, getting a call here or there. There's a number of things that have to work. So you go back and you learn from it, and you think about what's the next right thing to do.
We don't always get to see Wichita State head coach Paul Mills joining us here on Sports Daily. We don't always get to see, like, inside the players' minds. So take us there, because this, you guys have had these opportunities this year, and you've been able to come away with big wins in these moments, Northern Iowa, the UAB conference opener. And then there have been others where they haven't. How does this team, when you get them inside the locker room, when you get them to practice the next day, all those, like, what is the attitude they have toward attacking some of these things and making tough losses become tough wins?
Yeah, to be honest with you, this group has been great. Like, I mean, you haven't seen much in the way of repeatable errors. Like, we're going to be defined by how we respond to things. And, you know, shots are going to go in. There's going to be make and misses, right? And so we're not going to get caught up in that. Players don't always shoot it well. What we have to do is make sure we respond the right way. And I will tell you, this group has been great in their response and their approach and learning from those situations.
Coach, I'm curious, as we are in January, you know, we talked a lot about what, you know, November basketball meant whenever nobody knows anything. As you gradually go along, I know you talked about this, of what each month is, to lose the second conference game, obviously there's a lot of goals for you guys that are still on the table, you know, postseason, talk about a conference, you know, title run, potentially everything like that. There's still a lot of games left to play. How do you, as a, you know, as a, you know, coach and a human, balance the thought process of, like, these are must win, we got to do this in order to get to our goals, or it's just a game and it's January 3rd?
Yeah, I don't think in terms of must win, right? Yeah. I mean, I just think it's phony if you begin to think of outcome. You know, we're at the beginning of a year, people sit around and they choose goals, and I just think to myself, like, that is so fake. What you have to do is choose habits. And habits will determine whether or not you accomplish those goals. Just because you set a goal does not mean that it's happening. So what you have to focus on is, what are the habits? And your habits are really a lifestyle. Like, how committed are you to actually doing these type of things? So I just get focused on the habits. You know, we've got a ton of areas to grow. I know we're not even halfway through the season yet. And so this next game, game 16, will basically mark the halfway point, assuming that all you do is play in the conference tournament. But, you know, we have bigger plans than that. So you're kind of mindful about all of those things with not only new guys, but some young guys. You know, you got a guy in TJ Williams who's played all of 15 basketball games at this level, and very few of them, that's it. That's his fourth true road game. And so you just think through that entire process and how to manage all of that. But we're more focused on what are the habits, the things that we're doing on a day-by-day basis. And then the outcome will become the outcome, but the outcome is a product of the habits.
It's interesting, Coach. You bring up TJ Williams. I was kind of headed here next. Kenyon Giles, two great shooting nights. From three mostly, but his volume is high, and I'm sure you guys love it being high. What about when he doesn't make the shots, though? What is your preference if he's not hot? Where is the next? And maybe this is too simple, but what is option two? What is option three? How are you seeing that come together? And what are you thinking about the rest of that offense?
Yeah, it depends on the game. You know, if we think that there's an advantage in the interior, then we'll play in the interior. Yeah. If we think it's out of a pick and roll coverage, then we think, you know, hey, Dre and E-Man are really good here. If we think, hey, they're fanned out because they want to take away 3-point shooting, whoever that may be, probably, you know, you're dealing with Mike and you're dealing with KG, then you're finding, and they're really hugged up on a perimeter or interior standpoint because they're afraid of the physicality, then you think downhill. So this is honestly game to game. I mean, we're top six in the country, six in offensive rebounds, so teams are mindful of that. But, you know, every team, this is probably true of every team, we're top 10% in the country in transition. We need to find more opportunities from an organic perspective in transition. So I just think that the options vary game to game. And sometimes you just, you know, a particular player gets hot and you kind of have to go to that in a game and find different ways to get them. If you go back to KG's 8 threes in the UAB game, sticks of the 8 are just in transition. You know, they're just organic. And so some of this is just, even if a team is trying to do something and they're conscientious of a guy like that, you can still get guys shots simply by making sure you're playing with force.
Coach, you're exactly right that the only thing that you can do after a game like that is kind of just get ready for the next one. And it's a team you're familiar with in the Rice Owls. You know, what's it going to take to, you know, bounce back on Wednesday night?
Yeah, you know, they have a guy in Trey Broadnicks who's an experienced point guard, and then they put elite shooters out there. I wouldn't pay much attention to the Tulsa game. They had a bad night that particular night. The 6-point loss to Memphis is probably way more a recognizable team than what we'll see on Wednesday night. But, you know, again, we'll face a similar situation to what we faced at Charlotte. Just they don't have – their bigs aren't shooting as much as Bonke was and the 7-foot-2 player for Charlotte. But they do have terrific pick and roll, and then they can spread you out. So this will be a game to see what our growth is like from the Charlotte, just basically not defending the pick and roll very well to moving up here and defending Rice.
It is the conference home opener. It is coming right at us. You can get tickets, goshockers.com. It is a Wednesday 6:30 game against Rice, one of two home games this week. You guys also home against North Texas. Coach, give them hell. Let's see if we can get some big crowds out to the Roundhouse and get ready for January basketball. We're pretty pumped for it.
Jacob, TJ, thank you guys.
There goes Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, 1-1 to open conference play. 2-0 would be nice, should be nice, but 1-1 with two games coming up at home. I don't know what to make of the conference still, TJ. Coach brought it up. There's a couple 2-0 teams and everybody else is 1-1. That feels about right. You know, feels about right this year. I've tried to start catching some glimpses of the American every chance you get, you know, but was it Rice and Texas State? Who was Rice playing this weekend? I saw Rice for a minute. I don't even remember.
Right. Rice actually, they got at Tulsa and got eviscerated and then almost beat Memphis at home.
That's what it was.
You know, they're KenPom says they're one of the worst teams in the conference, but you almost beat Memphis at home. You know, that's something.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right? Like what are these teams? Charlotte's a good example of it. Charlotte was, you know, bad enough, I suppose, to be down 18 in the second half, but competitive enough to be able to put together a, you know, a run to get back into that thing. So, you know, what do you make of it? Rice, I don't know. Man, they're going to be favored big time. That game against Tulsa, I think that might be, yeah, that's the one I saw a little bit of. It was the one on ESPNU. So I did see a little bit of that one. It was football. They played Texas State. But they got beat by, what was it, 50?
Yeah.
Was that one was on in the office, I think, before Wichita State. Yeah, so it was just kind of there, and we're just like looking up, and it's like, ooh, yeah. And then you come back and you play Memphis tight. Like,
here's my Rice scouting report as I'm digging through their stats here. They've got a guy, number 24, 6'9", Jimmy Oladokun.
No.
I hope they're related.
Oladokun is I believe where that's at. Go home and play Memphis close to within six. But that game's Wednesday night. We'll have much more on that tomorrow. Hopefully the Shockers come out and win by 30. To be perfectly honest with you. It'll be kind of a football hour in hour number two. Should have Joshua Briscoe in to talk Chiefs. We'll get to the CFP, the NFL playoffs, all of it coming up. Sports Daily, don't go away.